So welcome, everyone, on this glorious day of February the 3rd. Yesterday, we had the groundhog not see his shadow, which means if legend proves true, we should have an early spring. And I think that's something everyone in the Northern Hemisphere would welcome, especially after such a wild and intense winter that we've had here. So, and today, of course, is Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm really pleased to see such a good congregation here because I know a lot of you are busy and ready to rush off to be with family and friends for that big event. And blessing givers who are tuned in to optimal opportunities for conveying a blessing, who also want to watch the Super Bowl and are tuned in, might want to dovetail on the opening prayer and offer a blessing along with the opening prayer. Remember, probably at least a billion people will be focused upon that. So it's a great opportunity to offer God's love, Christ's love, and the healing of the Holy Spirit and the safety of this situation for everyone dovetailed in with the prayer. And I guess that gets us started for today. I hope that we can have some really nice conversation today. And I apologize that there was so much difficulty last time. I'm not sure what that was. I was unmuting everyone who signed on to the call. And I called the company, and they couldn't give me any clues. So someone is on right now. Let's see if I can bring them in. Okay, someone from area code 503.
Hi.
Hey, you're on. Great.
I'm on. It worked this time.
Awesome.
How are you, Glenda? This is Nathaniel in Portland.
Yeah, I know. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hi. Good. Just checking on. You already know, of course, just the stuff that goes tripping out what you're talking about, the new birth and for what it's like for new beings to come into the world. And so it's so nice to connect with you on that. But, yeah, so on news on my front, I'm getting married and having a child in August. It's amazing.
I know. Everyone, did you hear that Nathaniel is going to be a father in August? Congratulations to you, Nate.
It's so exciting. So I'd love to offer that for a blessing as well.
Indeed, it is a blessing. And you, as a blessing giver, can be offering a blessing as your child is born.
Oh, that's a neat idea.
Yeah. I think it's more than a neat idea. Sounds really profound to me.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, and congratulations on your wedding and everything, all the goodness of life coming your way.
Thank you very much.
Very, very welcome. And thanks for demonstrating that our call-in line does work. It probably was just some glitch in the system last time. You know, even in the best of systems, there are mechanical glitches, and that's just the world we live in. We're so dependent upon a system that can occasionally have experience interruptions and breakdowns, but we're still blessed that it allows us to be connected. So anyone else who would like to join in, I'd love to hear from you this week. And I'm just going to make one more announcement, and then we'll get into the more inspirational content of what we came here to share. And that announcement is that our webinar will begin next Sunday at 2:30 Mountain Standard Time. You can figure it out in your own time zone from there. And we might have, I didn't check in today from the online enrollments, but we might have as many as 12 or 15 openings left, but there's a week to go, and we have a lot of people who enroll last minute. So if you want to take this webinar, I really, really encourage you to move as quickly as your ability allows you to do. This is a webinar that will do more than anything else I can imagine to restore your self-confidence and your self-esteem in an extremely challenging world where we have built up so many setbacks, discouragement, or just stallbacks. Maybe we're still going in the right direction. We know we'll get there. But, even stallbacks can get to us eventually. We wonder, why am I slugging so hard on this? Why is the universe not responding to me? And so then we move into effort, and we move into struggle. And as a worst-case scenario, we can even move into manipulation. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean in the sense of, okay, we got to regroup, guys. We got to find a way to move around this obstacle. And so we get into planning type manipulations of the circumstance. And all of these then put us into what I would call the zone of effort, the zone of force. Now, what does force attract? Counterforce. And then groups that are united on force, giving forth force and having counterforce against them, what does that generate? Well, it can actually generate competition within the group. Who's going to survive this? There may be cutbacks. I'll have to see if I'm the one who has to go. You see, when we've been in stallbacks too long, we move into the zone of effort. And we also move into realms of anxiety and self-defeat and loss of self-confidence. This webinar will do more than any other webinar we have ever offered to get your self-confidence back to where it was when you were 14, 15, 16, having the world on a string. And knowing that, no, you can't have everything, because not everything's meant for you, but you can attract and enjoy and relish and be nurtured by everything that is appropriate to your being. And we actually are going to get back to where you know what that is. And getting back to knowing what that is the first step to the recovery of success. Because if you've noticed, as you get into sluggishness and stallbacks and stops along the line, sometimes you have to change plans. And sometimes those plans are not as perfectly suited to you as the one you started out with. The one you started out was a pristine alignment with you, God, and the universe. And you're probably saying, why didn't God help me? Why didn't God respond? Well, you're going to find the answers here. And it's not that God didn't respond. It's not that the universe didn't try to help you. It's that in the process of dealing with struggle and change, you changed. And you became someone who attracted then the wrong things. So then what you're going to do is you're going to pick up a book or take a course on the subject of affirmation and the power of attraction. Because you now need to do what you have always wanted to do with your thoughts, because you're way off center to where you really wanted to be in your heart. So you're going to use your mind and your thoughts and your words for affirmation. Now, all of these things are good. Please don't read into this that this is not a good thing to do. It's always a good thing to say positive affirmations about your day, your work, your goals, your dreams, the people in your life. It's always a good thing to sit down with a piece of paper and put the most positive prospects for a plan on that piece of paper. But you have to understand, these are coming from a secondary level of power. And they will work exactly in that way, on a secondary level of improvement. Now, sometimes that's all it takes to get you back into the center of your being, and then the real power kicks in. And so that's why some people just swear by affirmations. They say, that just changed my life. Or they will they're just so convinced that all of the regimens of mental attraction and mental formulations of attraction work? Well, you see, they do work on a secondary level, and then they can work on a primary level if they happen to give you enough confidence to get back to being the being that wanted this in the first place. And that happens for some people and not for others. So why not just address the problem directly? You're going to be doing affirmations anyway. You're going to be doing your prayers. You're going to be doing your plans. But let's get to the understructure. Let's get to where the real power is between you and God. As Yeshua said in the scriptures and to his apostles and to everyone would listen, cultivate first within yourself the kingdom of heaven, and then all else will come. Now, a lot of people have interpreted that statement to mean create within yourself the ideals you want, or to create within yourself the heavenly realm of ideal afterlife existence. I really don't think that's what he meant, because the complexity and the depth of what he spoke to me indicates that we were created out of a perfect and loving nature. And this refers back to what Nathaniel is going to experience in August, receiving that child into his arms, coming from a perfect, godlike, loving nature, being all that that child is and can be and ever will be in his arms. And you see, we are in the hands of God in that way. And that's how God sees us, as his perfect child. But we move away from that. We want to have an adventure, and then we have desires that are self-gratifying or gratifying to the ego or the ego identities, and then we throw tantrums. We do all kinds of things that take us out of the arms of God. You see, what Yeshua was talking about is to be the love that you are and to be in that perfectly centered place of who you are, coming from the power given to you by God for the cultivation of your talents, your life, your inevitable contribution to life, and your optimal attraction for life. Finding that place again is what he meant by the kingdom of heaven. And when you find that place again, and it's not as easy as it sounds, my friends, and I'll get into that in just a second. That's part of our inspiration. It's not as easy as it sounds, because finding that place again is actually your life's work. But we can find ways to get there and solidify our understanding of it and use it to clear out ego centers that don't serve us or false attachments that drain us. Then we'll probably get back to our adventure after that. But, you see, if love is who we are, we've got a real paradox. And I'm going to say a paradox instead of a problem, because paradoxes are kind of like opposites united in a common purpose, describing the purpose from different points of view. Okay. Well, we are kind of a living paradox, because we are love, created in perfection from the heart of God, being held in the hands of God, and yet in order to grow and learn and have an experience, we have to exit that cocoon, go out and create an adventure. And sometimes those adventures are centered around things that really aren't important to us, because we want to have something different. We want to experience what George and Nancy are experiencing. We want to experience what people halfway around the world living a more indigenous life are experiencing. And all of these things are good learning curves. They help us build compassion on the positive side. And on the far end of undesirable results, they help us determine that, no, this really isn't the life for me. And thank you, God, that you didn't give it to me. But either way, again, we've got a paradox. It's a paradox of learning what's really good for us and what doesn't work so well for us. And in the process of doing that, we build up all kinds of other identities. Let's say, well, I'll just tell you about a friend of mine who grew up in a family of physicians. He was third generation. Father was a doctor. Grandfather was a doctor. And he knew he had healing abilities. But he had observed the medical profession and what was happening in it, and he just did not want to go through the many years of medical school and then through residency and all the modern paperwork and conformity of the medical practice. So he said to his dad, no, I'm not going to do that. That isn't me. And actually, that was a good decision on his part because he was honoring who he was instead of taking on a lineage of identities that for him would probably have become an ego identity. See, he might have justified becoming a doctor. Well, you know, I can be an important person in the community. I can save lives and make a lot of money. You know, the ego identity. He didn't do that. And that is very much to his credit. But what he says, I want to go see the world. And so he became a world traveler. And then in the process of becoming a world traveler, he became a journalist. Now, this is a true story. He became a journalist, and while he was a journalist, he became very much involved in writing stories about different cultural health challenges and remedies. So he felt he would use some of his background in healing, and he was very, very good at it. But at a certain point, he was invited to join as a health advisor into the diplomatic corps. And then he got the very thing he resisted in medicine, which was that ego structure, because power was put on his shoulders, and he didn't like it, and he didn't like the red tape, and he didn't like all of the diplomatic restrictions that were now placed upon him, what he could and couldn't do, what he had to pretend wasn't happening. His eyes were put behind blinders. He couldn't see. He wasn't free to look at what he was looking at. And so he decides, I can't do this. I've got to get back to what I was doing. And so he realized that journalism, he couldn't reconstruct his roots there. I don't want to get into the details. Don't want to reveal the man's life. But anyway, he decided to write a book about the international political problems of human health and how they were impeding the sharing of medical knowledge. Well, it became of such a valuable piece of literature that it threw him back into the work he was born to do, which was to actually facilitate health care in third world countries. And he's happily doing that right now and tries not to call too much attention to him to himself because he's trying to walk the tight wire of various other political problems. But he is very, very happy doing what he's doing. So that's an example of he was born into the right family, a family that gave him roots and perhaps even genetic abilities and encouragement and conditioning to be in the field of health. But he didn't buy into it on an ego level. He went out to have his own adventure. The adventure led him to something more appropriate, which got him back into the very thing he resisted in the first place, which was the ego status politically limited role inside World Health. He got out of it and became a World Health facilitator. And now he's right in his heart, and everything is manifesting for him as it should be. So that's what I mean by your life's work is to find your place within the kingdom of heaven inside the adventure of being who you are. You see, being who you are is an adventure. And we do take left turns, right turns, and find ourselves in blind alleys sometimes, having to back up. Sometimes we wreck the car, and we have to call in for major help and bail ourselves out of a very debilitating situation. But we can do it. We all have the ability and the power to do that. With God's help, we can do anything regarding coming back to the truth of who we are. Okay, now that doesn't mean that I, at almost, and I'll say almost, 68, am going to be able to go out and climb Mount Everest. Perhaps with enough conditioning and coaching and assistance, I could, but it would be too much of a diversion from the work I really want to do. So no, I'm not going to do that. So I'm not telling you you're going to be able to do everything you could think of that a human being would do and say, and I want to have that adventure and that one and that one and that one and that one and all of these. This is why the last of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet. It's not because God abhors desire for what others have or admiration for what others have. It's just that God doesn't want you to base your life on obtaining what's not right for you. And you'll waste your whole life if you do it. And I could take on a lot of goals. I still have a lot of vigor, vitality, enthusiasm, and creativity. Sure, I could do it. So could you. But you have to ask yourself, is it really, really what I came here to do? And when you find what you came here to do, that is the activation point for recharging your life and making the perfect connection with the attractor fields from which this universe was created. You see, God created everything from love. Love is the original attraction that called forth the adamantine particles into assembly and configuration, eventually into such compression that they exploded in light and then went forth to create all the diversities of galaxies and solar systems and every form of life that was called into assembly originally by the Creator. This is how you call everything into assembly for yourself, through being the love that you are. You call into assembly everything that is to be as your life, for your life, of your life. And as it comes into assembly, you begin to recognize it, and then you can assist it. There's nothing in the scripture that said you should not assist your goals and purposes. As a matter of fact, everything that Yeshua taught indicates that you should. In his parable of the talents, he talks about the man who just buried his talent to keep it safe. Well, that man lost his talent. The man who had several talents and he invested them. He cultivated them. He got more. So yes, and all of the laws of cause and effect suggest that if we water the grass, it will grow. If we fertilize the apple tree, we'll have more apples. So yes, there's plenty for you to do. And what I think the real value of affirmation and the real value of thought planning and thought planning on an ordinary, shall we say, power of attraction level is actually to keep your enthusiasm and your focus and your positive dedication to supporting the things you are calling into attraction. And when you've got the whole package working together, you've got nothing but success. And it works. Then your affirmations have a basket to fit in. All of your planning applies to something, because it's not planning on thin air where you're expecting somebody else to do it for you. Any time you're expecting somebody else to do something for you, chances are, even if you attract something, you've attracted it through their power. You see, it's the power of being that attracts everything. If you want to attract what's right for your life, you've got to stand up, take charge, and be the person that you are, ultimately the love that you are. But if you can't find the love right now, if you don't feel the love, at least stand up and say, yes, I'm here. This is my life, and I shall attract everything that is appropriate for my life. This is one thing you don't delegate. This is something you don't sit back and let somebody else attract for you. This is you and God, you and the universe, you and the Holy Spirit, you and the earth on which you stand, you and humanity, you and the template of your life. Now, that's a perfect lead-in to the blessing and the way the blessing is given to you. The blessing is given to you from God the Creator through divine and holy love, conveyed energetically through the Holy Spirit, anchored by our earth, and attracted within you by the Christ within you, who can be there on your behalf, holding your love in his hands, to attract the blessing for your highest and greatest good. Now, physically, in order to make this an optimum experience, you know, the thing is, it's going to come through you no matter what you do. If we have any blessing givers who want to offer a blessing during the prayer of the Super Bowl, it's going to affect everybody in that in the receiving field. And they're not going to be in any special position. But if you want to optimize the blessing, which is, of course, why you come here, to receive a blessing unique and specific for you that will strengthen you as who you are, here's what you do. You remove your shoes and socks. You have your feet on the ground. Sit in a chair with your back semi-erect. Because what you're going to do is you're going to attract energy up from the earth. And with your back comfortable, leaning back, but semi-erect, you're going to attract the energy of the cosmos, the solar system, the sun. And the force of gravity carrying that energy vertically through your spine will bring it down into your heart center, then down to the end of your spine and through your legs into the earth. It will bring it back from the earth through your legs and back up through your spine, pausing to bless your heart, and then back out through the top of your head. And this will repeat many times while the conduction of energy is happening. Now, it is not my energy that's being conducted, nor any of our blessing givers. We are like antennae. We are receivers for you, like the antennae on television. We're the satellite that's going to pick up the signal and send it into your being specifically for you. But we are not the energy. And this is one of the reasons we have a blessing seminar to teach people how to be that level of neutrality and love to be a conduit for the blessings of God. So, that being said, let us begin. And I ask that you would now empty your mind. No more thoughts. If they come through, just let them pass. Allow your attention to fall into your heart and just be there in your heart. Be there and be ready to receive this energetic offering from God, the universe, the Holy Spirit, and Christ. And say your prayer, your personal prayer, that this may become united with your heart and your life. This will take about 3 minutes, and after that, I would like you to go and rest for about 7 minutes or longer. It's okay if you fall asleep. Just rest and assimilate. Do not think. Don't even continue your prayer, because your prayer may contain neediness. And I want you to be in a state of receiving and blessing as you rest, as all things are given to you. So let us begin. I am going to mute the telephone. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being our anchor in our heart eternally, that no matter what adventures we travel on, someone is there always saying, come home. I remember who you are. I know who you are. I hold the love that you are in my hands as I hold the children of heaven. Thank you for being with us through all of our adventures and trials and through all of our victories and accomplishments, that you honor them and you magnify them and you help us to take our accomplishments into a greater range of influence and to use them to strengthen and magnify the love that we are. We thank you for attracting the blessings of the Holy Creator into our life and bringing the Holy Spirit into our life for counsel and healing. We thank you for giving us all the bounty of the earth for our nourishment, our guidance, our experience, our growth, and our wellness. And thank you for being with us this moment to allow this blessing to be perfectly and uniquely a blessing for each one of us according to our own personal desires and needs and connection with our Creator. Amen. energetic part of the blessing is now complete. I would like you to go and rest and assimilate quietly and serenely for 7 minutes or more. And know that God loves you. You are very loved. And I look forward to rejoining with you in the future on future Sundays. Bye-bye for now.